Tonight's shiur is on the Haggadah and Pesach. And the title of the shiur tonight is The Outstretched Sword. So every year we go through the Haggadah, and sometimes we race through this part, but I'm always bothered by one aspect of the Haggadah that I wanted to discuss in the shiur tonight. So if you look at the source sheets, if you have the source sheets, it's source number one. So we always go through this, and it says, Vayomer Hashem b'Mitzrayim, Vayotzeinu Hashem b'Mitzrayim b'yad chazakah v'zroon etziyov v'mora gadol v'osos v'mofsem. So it's the pasuk that we're always doresh, and the pasuk says that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim with a strong and mighty arm, and an outstretched strong and mighty hand and outstretched arm, and also with awesome power, and also with signs and miracles. So this is the pasuk that we're doresh, that we explain in the Haggadah, and it breaks it up into different parts. So if you look in source number two, this part is always troublesome. Source number two is the Ritva and his approach to the Haggadah, and it's his Haggadah also. So he brings down Ubizroa Netiyah. So what is the idea of an outstretched arm? What does that mean? So he says, Zuha Cherev, this is the sword. Kemosha Namar, and he quotes the Divrei Yamim, the Charbosh Lufa B'yado Netiyah Al Yerushalayim. So the Pasuk in Divrei Yamim says that there was a malach. I'll give you guys some background. There was a malach, and he had an outstretched hand with a sword in it that was drawn over Yerushalayim. So the question that always bothered me is, where is the sword in the Makos? What, there's no reference in the actual Makos to a sword, to a cherev. So what does it mean, Uvizron Tuyah, as a reference to a sword? And what's the analogy or what's the concept of a sword in the Makos? So that's the question that I wanted to start with. A friend of mine told me that I have to somehow work in COVID-19. So I think as we go through this year, somehow there will be some connection here. It'll be natural. But anyways, let's keep going. So if we go to source number three, I just want to give you some background as to what the pasuk that's quoted by the Haggadah, we'll read it inside. Look in source number three. It's Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Tazayin. It says, Vayisa David Eseinu Vayar Es Malach Hashem Omeid Bein Haaretz Uvein Hashamayim B'Charbo Shlufa B'Yado Netuya Al Yerushalayim Vayipol David Vazkenim Mechasim Basakim Al Pneihem. So David lifted up his eyes and he saw this angel who was standing between the Shemayim, the heavens and the ground. And he had this sword that was drawn out and it was over Yerushalayim. So there's this angel. Vayipol David Vazkenim Mechasim Basakim Al Pneihem. So David and the elders, they fell to the ground with their sackcloth. So just a little background information. From what I know, from what I've read in Divrei Yamim, so the background is that David decided after the Jewish people won several wars, he decided to count the people. And apparently this was a chait on David's part. Can you please put on your mute buttons if you can? If you can. Thank you. So David, he counted the people after their successful battles. And Divrei Yamim mentions that he was punished, or he deserved punishment for counting the Jews, because the count was one of pride, that David was taking pride over the fact that they had won and he had won these battles. And it was inappropriate to count the Jewish people at that time. So what happened was the Jews were punished with Dever first. First was pestilence like we have in the Makos. And then afterwards, David saw this malach with this great sword, this outstretched arm with a sword over Yerushalayim, and they did tshuva and they prevented the destruction of Yerushalayim. So is there a connection between that pasuk, not just the word, but that pasuk and the idea of cherev when we come to it in the Haggadah? So that's the that's what we're going to focus the shir on. A, what is the idea of cherev? Why is the sword relevant to the Makos? There's no mention of it. And B, what is the connection between this pasuk and that idea? So we're going to follow kind of a path. Yeah, you have a question?
How did you equate the sword to the outstretched arm?
So if you look in the pasuk, it says, V'charbo shalufa b'yado netuyah Yerushalayim. And the pasuk by Mitzrayim is V'zro netuyah. So they use the word netuyah to show you, and V'charbo by Divrei Yamim, that the cherev, that's really a reference to a cherev that's outstretched. So it's a strange reference, and it's a strange idea, but that's the reference. You see it in the two
pesukim? Both are like metaphors, right?
I mean, yeah, we're going to try to explain what the idea is. Yeah, I don't think it's literal, but we'll explain what the idea is. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So if you look in Rashi over there, source number 4. Again, if anybody has any questions, just unmute and just ask. It's fine. So if you look in Rashi, source number 4, Rashi on Divrei Yomim, just to get the pshat, he asks about Yehoshua. There was a similar case by Yehoshua where there was an angel that appeared with a sword. So Yehoshua asked when he saw the angel that was next to him, opposite him, he said, are you going to help us or are you against us, like an adversary? So he was facing, he was facing the adversary and the Malach was opposite to him. So it wasn't clear if the Malach was opposing him or the Malach was going to help the Jewish people. So Yehoshua was troubled by the sight of this Malach. But in the story of David, he saw that there was this outstretched arm with a sword in it over Yerushalayim, and it was pretty clear to him that the intent of this Malach was to destroy Yerushalayim. So there wasn't any fuzzy ideas or fuzzy details about what the idea of this Nevuah was. By Yehoshua, it was unclear what the idea of the Nevuah was, but by David, it was clear what was going on. The Jews were supposed to be punished after the Dever, and the Dever killed 70,000 individuals, 70,000 Jewish people, and now afterwards, they were going to be subject to this great destruction, which is the sword. So what is the idea? What's the concept of the sword? So since we use the Ritva's Haggadah, I'm going to follow the path of the Ritva. We'll use him first. So the Ritva says over there in source number 5, if you have the Mar Mekomos, he explains, V'zronitzu yazu acherev. So this is the sword. Zehu kinoi l'nekama sha'asa Hashem mitzrayim. So he says that the cherev is like a kinoi, it's a euphemism for the revenge that Hashem did to Mitzrayim. Shehaisa cherev no kemes nekam bris. There's a pasuk in Bechukosai, which says that it's the sword of vengeance over the bris, over the covenant. Rotza lomar, he says, briso shel Avram Avinu al vashalom. The bris to Avram Avinu, that the Jewish people would eventually be led out of Mitzrayim, that was avenged through the sword. And that was the idea of the Malach with the sword. It was to take revenge against those who were sinners and those who were rebelling. So the Ritva says, just to summarize, so the Ritva says that a cherev is an idea of revenge. And he quotes the pasuk we're going to see in Vayikra, where he says that cherev is a euphemism for nekamas Hashem. So again, so now we have a little bit of clarity. So the idea of cherev... Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
What does that mean, revenge against the bris? Wasn't the slavery and Yetziah the fulfillment of the bris? Revenge sounds like somebody else violated the bris.
Yeah, good question. So we'll get to that, hopefully. That's a good question. Excellent, yeah. So it does... What does that mean, revenge of the bris? Yes, good question. So hopefully we'll answer that. So as we go through it. Okay. So if we don't answer it, ask me again, but I think we're going to answer that question. So let's just follow the path of the Rishonim. So the Rishonim, they're always quoting Psukim. So I like to look at the Psukim themselves to see, you know, what they're alluding to. And then we can get like a more insightful idea, I think, as to what the idea of Cherev is. But just on a basic level right now, it seems like Cherev is tied to the idea of Nekama, to the idea of revenge. And it's the revenge of Hashem on the Mitzrayim, and it's the revenge of the bris of Avram. The nature of the bris of Avraham apparently included revenge. So we'll see what that means in detail. So let's look at the psukim themselves. What is this talking about, the psukim? What's the cherev no kemes nekam bris? It's about the Jewish people when they mess up. So what happens? Look in source number 6. So it says by the tochacha, v'im be'ela lo sivasru li v'alachtem imi keri. So if you don't keep the Torah and you're hostile to me, it says valachdiaf ani imachem bekeri v'kisi eschem gam ani shava chatoseichem. So Hashem says if you're hostile to me, I'm going to be hostile to you, and I'm going to destroy you sevenfold over your sins. V'hevisi aleichem cherev no kemes dekam bris. This is the pasuk that the Ritva quotes. I'm going to bring upon you the sword of a vengeance of the bris. of revenge of the bris. V'nesaftem, sounds like a movie, revenge of the bris. V'nesaftem al arichem v'shilachti dever besochachem nitatem biyad oyev. So Hashem promises that the Jews are going to be destroyed, and he's going to send dever, pestilence, and they'll be given over to the oyev. So another question that we didn't ask, but now it's more clear, is also the other element is that dever is always combined with cherev. Because if you look back, I didn't bring in the beginning of the Haggadah, but biyad chazaka is dever, and then vizronatuyah is cherev. So there's always this connection between dever and cherev. So the question is, what is that connection? It'll fit in hopefully with the idea. But at this point, we see that the idea of a cherev is tied to revenge. So again, we have to understand this in the context of the Haggadah and what idea we can take out from here. So if you look in, I'm just following the sources. So if you look in source number 7, Rashi, I always like to look at Rashi. So he gives a really nice explanation that we're going to use. So he says, Nokemes Nekambris. What is the Nekambris? V'yesh nakam she'eno bevriso k'derech shar nakamos. So there are elements of revenge that are not included in the Torah, like other nations when they take revenge. And he gives an example. V'zehu simoy enov shel tzidkiyahu. So the blinding of tzidkiyahu was really outside of the Torah. It wasn't really a Torah revenge. So we have to understand, what does that mean? So that's one of the questions. What does that mean, no kemes nakam bris? No kemes nakam bris in this context means that it's a nekama that's in the Torah, that the Torah explains. But there are other types of revenge that are outside the bris, that are outside of Torah. And he gives an example. The blinding of Tzidkiyahu is an example of something that's not a revenge of the bris. So what is that? What is that? What is that talking about? What's a revenge of the bris? Dabar acher, no kein bris, nikamti brisi asher avartem, kol havas cherv shebimikra, hayam nechamti chayalos oivim. So the other possibility is that it's a nekama for breaking the bris. It's revenge for breaking the bris. And anytime it says cherev, it always means actual soldiers and enemies. So we have two pshatim. I'm going to go with the first pshat. But the two pshatim of the cherev of nokemes nekam bris is one is that really there's a nekama of the bris of Torah. And that's what's mentioned in the Torah in the Tochacha. And then there's a nekama that's outside the bounds of Torah. And that's, for example, Tzidkiyahu was blinded. That's not nekama of the Torah. And the other is it's a nekama for violating the bris, for violating Torah. But that doesn't really make sense by Avraham, the idea of violating the bris. So what exactly does it mean that it's the nekama of the bris of Avraham? Okay. So one last point, and then hopefully we'll open up the first idea to the first idea. So if you go to source number 9, I just want to use one other Rishon, the Rakanti. People don't use this, but he's very interesting. And we'll skip 8 and we'll go to 9. It says, Ve'visi aleichem cherev no kemes nekam bris. Hacherev haniskar hu cherev la'ashem le'adam. So the cherev that is mentioned in the pasuk is a cherev that's really full of blood. It's for Hashem and it's full of blood. V'haremez l'midas hadin. It's really a reference to the midas hadin. V'hi hanu kemes nekam bris she'efrido beino vein habris ha'elyon. So it's really a nekama of the bris that separates between it or between us and the bris ha'elyon. I'm not sure exactly what the last part means, but the idea is that it's a reference to midas hadin. The first part is he's saying it's a cherev la Hashem le adam, and he says v'haremez l'midas hadin. So it's a remez to the midas hadin. Okay, fine. So we see that nekama, there's an idea of nekama and the framework of midas hadin. So now we have a bunch of steps here. We started with the Ritva. We'll try to put everything together. But we started with the Ritva, and he talks about how the concept is nekama, and he quotes the pasuk. And then we saw from Rashi what the concept of nekama is, that it's a nekama of the bris of Torah. But the Ritva says it's nekama of bris Avram. And now we see from the Rakanti that a cherev is really a reference to midas hadin. So what exactly is that? And then we'll do one last shita. The Svarna says nokemes nekam bris. No kemes be'osa nekama k'suva b'sefer abris k'amram zal afal pish de bitlu sanhedrin din arba misos lo bitlu. So even though he's saying it's a nekama, again, it's a similar idea, the nekama of the sefer abris of Torah, and even though Sanhedrin was mevutal, there's still an idea of arba misos, there's still an idea of herek, an idea of destroying, of killing, as justice. So what is the concept? What's the idea of cherev? So, and why is it next to dever? All those questions, we're going to try to put them together. So I was thinking about a shir that I heard many years ago about nekama. So one of the isurim for a Jewish person is to take nekama. And the question was, why? I remember this years ago. And the famous concept that I heard was that man is incapable of meting out justice properly when it comes to nekama. So we think that we can. We think that we're able to understand the justice of revenge, but really we can't really get it precise. And our justice is going to be a failure of justice when it comes to nekama. So therefore, it's usur for us to take revenge. It's a distortion of justice. But it seems like if you look in the psukim, the idea of revenge is not, it's not like midah keneged midah. It's even more so, because if you look in the psukim in source number 6, it says that it's sheva chatoseichem. It's seven on fold on your chataim. So it seems like revenge is an idea of almost overblown. It's almost, in our eyes, it seems like it's too much. So when we see revenge, like for example in the Makos, we see that by the Makos, it seems like, or it could seem like to us, to man, to humanity, that the Makos were overblown in terms of the punishment to the Mitzrayim. It's almost like, did they really deserve this? Did they really deserve the Makos? And of course, the purpose of the Makos are multiple. I mean, it's not just an idea of punishing the Mitzrayim, but it's also to demonstrate the greatness of Hashem and the unity of Hashem and teach the ideas and the philosophy of the Makos. But one other idea in the Makos that we shouldn't forget about is the idea of Midas Adin, of the idea of justice. That really, even though to us the idea of Nekama isn't clear and the justice of Nekama isn't clear, the idea of Cherev is Midas Adin. It's that justice exists even throughout the Makos. And it's, even though it seems like it's overdone, it seems like it's not fair to the Mitzrayim, but the idea of Nekama allows for, it's more than just Mida Kenega Mida. It allows for more, but still, there's still a precision to the justice of the Nekama. So it's a Chiddush. It's a big Chiddush because we can't really see it. We don't see how Nekama is fair. But the idea that we have to recognize, which is expressed through Cherev, is that it's Midas Hadin, that despite the fact that it seems unfair to us and it seems overblown in terms of the Makos or in terms of our punishments, but nevertheless, it's still Midas Hadin. Like the Rakanti says, it's Cherev. It's Cherev L'Hashem Le'adam, V'aremes L'Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin, and also the Sforno says that. He says it's justice. Even though we don't have Sanhedrin, we have this system of justice. So it's an interesting concept that Nekama is really one that seems overblown, but nevertheless, there's still a precision of justice because it's emanating from Midas Adin. So I think that's the idea of Cherev. When I see Cherev, according to the Ritva, he's saying it's an idea of Nekama, and I was bringing you through all the sources, but that's the Nekama of Bris Avram. Look at the Bris, look at source number 11. So how does this tie to Avram? So it says, Vayomer l'Avram yadua teidua ki ger yezar l'chav eretz Elohim, v'avadum v'inu osam arba me'oshana, v'gam segoy asher yavodu dan anochi, v'acharechein yitzu b'rechush gadol. So Hashem says that the Jewish people are going to be enslaved, and then afterwards he's going to judge the Mitzrayim, and afterwards the Jews are going to leave Berechush Gadol with great wealth. So you see that Avraham was told that there was going to be a justice in the punishment to the Mitzrayim. But so what is that? What's the idea that the Ritva is alluding to in the Kama of Bris Avraham? I think it's teaching us that Avraham was really shown the insight into how the Nekama was really just. And he was given that insight, and that's the Bris. That's the covenant, and in the covenant that was made to Avram, he was shown the dun, the idea of din, that exists even in the Makos. So even though it appears to us as though it's not fair, that it's too much, but nevertheless, it's din, and Avram saw that din. So this idea of Nekama is an expression of that bris. It's an expression of the idea of justice that exists despite the fact that it seems overdone, it seems overblown. So that's the first idea I wanted to say about Cherev. What is Cherev? It's not literally a sword, but it's the idea of justice in the framework of Nekama. And by the Jews too, in Divrei Yomim, they deserved, it seems like it was Nekama. It wasn't just pure justice, Mida Keneged Mida, but there's another element there of revenge, but there's a justice to revenge. It's not unfair, even though it seems unfair in our eyes. So that's the idea over there by Divrei Yomim. And I think that's the idea over here. And and the other question was, one of the other questions was by Dever. So why is it tied to Dever? So it's the same idea. By Divrei Yomim, Dever killed 70,000 people. So Dever, it seems like a combination of Dever with Cherev, seems to be a Nekama that appears unjust. But again, that concept is that there's a justice in the Nekamas Hashem that we might not be able to see, but we have to recognize as a certain precision. There's a certain, I guess there's a certain abstract nature to the justice that we can't see. So when I see Cherev, that's what the Ritva, that's what I think the Ritva is saying, Nekamas Nekam Bris. He's showing you that it's a revenge, and don't think that the Makos were unfair to the Mitzrayim, but they really fit into the system of justice, despite the fact that they seemed a little overblown. Okay, is that clear? Anybody questions? Yeah.
I don't know if I'm like reading something into it, that, but it sounds like if you're gonna say it's specific, that it would be like for each individual tailored. And then there was just a little bit of that in Makad
B'Chot. Well, there's the Nekama to a nation, there's a national Nekama, and there's also a personal Nekama. So by the Mitzrayim and the Makos, I'm looking at it more on a national scale.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So there's another idea in Cherev.
Could I just ask?
Yeah, sure.
That,
go ahead.
My endeavor was, you know, kind of chosen and isolated when a lot, you know, the other Makos also seemed a little bit extreme.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Why is that one isolated?
I mean, I think the idea, I think it's a good question, and I think the Rav says that Dever, the reason why Dever is isolated is because I think the Rav mentions that it destroyed the economy. It was like the Makkah that destroyed their economy in the most complete sense. So perhaps like that's the idea. It's like now here's the tie into COVID-19. we see that the economy is like completely destroyed right now. And the concept is that it seems like it's too much. Like it seems like the market's gone down too much. I know it's jumped back a little bit, but it's gone down too much. So the concept is over there too, by Dever, I think the Rav mentions that it was a complete destruction of their economy. So maybe that's why they would have thought, you know, it's too much. At that point, for some reason, an economic downturn like that has a tremendous effect on your perception of justice. All right? I think it makes sense also with the next shot by the Dever also. I think it's a little better. But let's look at another... No, it's not. It is the revenge of slavery. It's a good question. Yeah, it's a revenge. It's a revenge because the Mitzrayim. I mean, there's a whole question. There's another question about free will there, but I don't really want to take it up. But yeah, we'll talk about it after, Naomi. All right.
Rabbi Ginsburg.
Sure.
I just wanted to ask, in terms of the rabbis connecting this concept of sword to Midas HaDin.
Yeah.
And yet referring to it as Nekama.
Yeah.
But whereas Midas HaDin we say is just, but Nekama we say is unjust. I was wondering if this idea from sort of ideas of punishment in justice systems, like to some degree, we want to just stop people from doing it. We want to deter crime. We also want to reform criminals, make them good people. But there's also a concept of retribution, that if a person has been wronged, we feel like we want the person to be punished. We want them to be
right.
In some degree of pain. But in general, like halakha, we say, it, like nakama, if you put that in the hands of a person, they will never be able to properly measure the pain, as opposed to a din from Kadosh Baruch Hu, which would be precise. And I was wondering if you could tie it specifically to just as you were saying, that since the real benefit to the Mitzri of their rishus was their economy.
Yeah.
Taking that away from them was the true reflection of the retribution of the Brits.
Yeah, it could be like that. Yeah, I hear that. I mean, you're saying that was really what they prided themselves on. So that was the ultimate. You're saying that's the ultimate retribution. The economic stature of Mitzrayim was there. It was almost what made them great. What made their kingdom great. And that was where the retribution took place to the highest level. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, it's a good idea. Thank you. So let's just go on to another possibility. There's another. We'll just do two. It's really three ideas that I wanted to set up for today. So that was the first idea. The second idea of Cherev is tied to another one of the I think Rishonim, and it's in source number 12. So this is Haggadah Shel Pesach L'Rashbatz, and if you look in, I got all this stuff from, I have the Haggadah of the Rishonim, so the Torah Chaim Haggadah, so I recommend it, and also it's on my Bar Ilan CD. But if you look in source number 12, it says, "Uvizron etuya zua cherev shenamar v'charbo shlufa biyadon etuya Yerushalayim lamanu kinetuya namar lecherev." So we see that netuya, the idea of outstretched, is a reference to a sword. This is the question that always bothered me at every Seder. We don't see any cherev by the makos. So what is it doing here? He says, "V'nira shehu niskar b'masha omelu paro pen yifka'enu ba'dever o b'cherev." So when Moshe went to Paro, one of the things he said early on was, lest we be afflicted by dever, by pestilence, or cherev, or sword. So again, you see that dever and cherev are put together. And he says, "V'hayu rotzim lomar pen yivgacha." It should have said, "Lest you be afflicted," not us. Why was Moshe included in this? Ela b'pnei kavod amalchus. He was showing kavod to Paro. Amru yifka enu. That's why he said that we'll be afflicted, not just you. Imkein matzinu b'makos mitzrayim shevchidam lahavi aleim cherev. So we see that in the makos there was a fear. There was that he made them afraid to bring a cherev, to bring a sword upon them. And so what is the idea of cherev according to this approach? It's pretty clear what he's saying to me, but let's just look at two other psukim, or actually one pasuk and one rishon, and then I'll try to summarize the second idea, I think. It says in source number 13, Vayomru Elokei Yivrim Nikra Aleinu Nilchana Derech Shul Shemim Bamivar V'Nizbuchal Hashem Elokeinu Pen Yifka'enu Badever O Becharev. So just the pshat of the pasuk that the Rashbatz is quoting is that when Moshe approaches Paro, he says that we need to go to the Derech Shul Shemim 3 days into the Midbar, and we'll give korbanos, lest we be afflicted by dever or by cherev, by sword. So we see, again, yifka inu is inappropriate, so yifka acha, not us. Moshe wasn't included in the onesh. He should have said to Paro that you're going to be afflicted, but it was kavod amalchus. So if you look in source number 14, he says, Badever obecharev, the chizkuni kan asa Moshe mitzvah shal kadosh baruch hu, lahasros befaro betchila b'makas b'choros. This was a fulfillment of the mitzvah that Moshe had to give asra. He had to warn Paro about makas b'choros from the very beginning. So this was an idea of hasra on the part of Moshe as to what's going to happen in the future, a warning. So what is the idea of cherev here? I think it's anybody want to try out an approach? It's not a secret. The idea of so I'll just give over an idea I was thinking about based on what he's saying. I think go ahead.
Maybe like the threat.
Exactly.
Like the idea that the sword was hanging over your head, sort of a reference almost to the sword of Damocles.
Exactly. So I agree with you. I don't know what that case is. What's the sword of Damocles? We'll get to it after, a different time.
But the sword of Damocles is an old thing that justice stands over your head like a sword of Damocles.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. So it's the same concept. That basically, the idea of cherev, the second idea of cherev is that cherev is an idea of the psychological fear that existed, and I think one way of learning it is that it's tied to dever, which is similar to what I was saying before, that dever was really the economic destruction of Mitzrayim, and the idea of cherev, which comes after dever, is the fear that emerges after that occurs. And again, another reference to nowadays. We see that economic destruction, let's say in 2008, 2009, so everyone, you know, I've spoken to other people about economics, and everyone's afraid after that. There's a lot of people, not everyone, but there are a lot of people who are afraid to invest after the economic downturn in 2008, 2009, and there's this fear hanging over their head. And that fear occurred after dever, because dever was like that. It was a destruction of their economic system on a more drastic scale. And after that occurs, there's cherev, and cherev is the idea of fear. So when Moshe approached Paro, that was the concept. The concept was that he warned Paro of two things. One is, ultimately, your economy will be destroyed. And he also gave him fear. He created fear, like the Rashbat says. He says, lafchidam. He's trying to cause fear amongst the Paro and the Mitzrayim. So the idea of cherev, again, is when you're going through the Haggadah, when you get to cherev, you should think about not just the physicality of the makos, but the fear, the psychological fear that existed after dever, that dever set the stage for this tremendous fear that emerged. So that's
when you have in Hilchos Avelis.
Yeah.
So the Rambam says if you have one of your chaverim passes away, so you should view it like there's a sword hanging in the room.
Yeah, I just gave shir on that last Sunday or two Sundays ago. Yeah, I had a shot on that. That was an idea. And listen,
but isn't that, think that's pertinent to what you just saying.
Yeah, yeah, it is an idea in fear that a person, yeah, it is, exactly. So that's the idea of the cherev over there, exactly. The cherev by Avelis is the idea of fear that a person has to be in that state in doing tshuva after somebody dies, a relative dies. So yeah, it's the same idea. Whenever you see cherev, typically cherev is an idea of fear. So, and also it makes sense with the pasuk in Divrei Yomim.
I think it also means that it's one of your chaverim that you and him are no different, and he just passed away, and you should have that certain, like you're saying, that,
yeah, that
power over the chabura.
Well, that's a different idea. That's more of an identification. I had a different shot on that Rambam, a little bit different. I didn't think it was identification. I thought it was more of an idea that a person has to be almost afraid in that situation, because a lot of times people are too extreme in the way they change, in the way that they after death. So I wasn't thinking of it in identification framework, but I hear what you're saying for sure.
Oh,
yeah. Right. But here I think it makes sense also with the pasuk in Divrei Yomim, because in Divrei Yomim it says that David saw the angel, the Malach, with the sword outstretched over Yerushalayim, and they did tshuva right away. So what was that? That was just this tremendous fear, this tremendous pachad that emerged in David when he saw the eventuality. So it's the same thing over here. It's the idea of fear and seeing the eventuality, or at least sensing the eventuality. And that's what Moshe was doing. He was being Masrahim. He was showing Paro what the eventuality of this, of these Makos are going to lead to, which is Makos Bechoros. And along with that was this tremendous fear. So and it seems like after Dever it took place. It really concretized after Dever because of what I was saying before, that it was the destruction of their economic base.
Rabbi,
yeah, sure.
I'm thinking also of the case with Yehoshua, possibly.
Yehoshua over there.
The Malach came with the.
Initially he was afraid. He wasn't sure what the Malach. Yeah, exactly. Same thing. Okay. Initially he was afraid, but then he spoke to the Malach, and the Malach, you know, he did. Yeah, but he was afraid in the beginning. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just in terms of Harav being this sense of impending doom.
Yeah.
I think another reason, aside from the economic, that Dever specifically would highlight it is that is the first Maka, I think the only one other than Makas Bechoros, that of its nature was in fact death.
Oh, okay. Okay. I mean, Arov wasn't like that?
You mean the
death of the cattle? You mean the death of the cattle?
Yeah, meaning death, right, was a part of it. Meaning having the Nile turn to blood, that's not good, but like no one's necessarily going to die.
Well, they say that. Did they say that the fish died and stuff? Does it say that in the Psukim or no?
Well, what I'm saying is that the character of the Maka,
right,
was specifically,
right,
death.
Right.
And
right.
Therefore, people were like, oh gosh, it doesn't have to be something that we can maybe work around by digging wells. It's going to be straight death.
Right, right. Okay, that's another good. That's a good shot also. That you're the idea of seeing death in the Maka created this fear. It enhanced the idea of the fear of Cherev, and that's the idea of Cherev. Yeah. Okay. The last point in the shir. I didn't realize that Zoom Basic has a 40-minute time limit. So I'm gonna do the last idea in the shir. Hopefully they'll let me go through. So if you look in I didn't bring it down, the Abu Draham. He mentions a different idea. Last, the point is that when you see cherev, it's a reference to this pasuk in Tehillim. It says, "L'makem Yitzrayim bivchoreim kilolam chasto," and it says, "Oh, okay, great. Time limit doesn't apply. Awesome. All right. So if you see in Tehillim, it says, "L'makem Yitzrayim bivchoreim kilolam chasto." So it says through their firstborn, Hashem smote, had hit Mitzrayim, and it says, "Kilolam chasto," his love is steadfast and eternal. So Rashi says over there, there's a weird medrash here. L'makim Mitzrayim b'vchoreim. This is all based on the Abu Draham's interpretation of cherev. So it says, L'makim Mitzrayim b'vchoreim. B'choreim lo ne'amar, ela b'vchoreim. It doesn't say that Hashem killed the b'chors, but it says through the b'chors. Amdu b'chorim b'kafchu shokan shel avihem. Hama'akvim b'Yisrael k'sheshamu nega asirim b'fi Moshe. When the b'chors, they heard that from Moshe that Makas b'chors was going to happen, so they were really upset at their fathers, and it says that they slapped them on the thighs. Shok is like a thigh, and that's the pshat in Rashi. But the medrash is a little more severe. Look at the medrash over here in source number 17, and this mentions cherev. So if you look in 17, it says, Kishishomu kol b'choros kach. So when the b'choros heard that they were going to die, Niskansu etzel aviyam, they went to their fathers. Amru lahem, kol ma she'amar Moshe ba'aleinu. So the b'choros, they were convinced that they were going to die, and they said to their fathers, you know, Moshe, what Moshe said is going to happen. Ata ena temavakshim shenichya, you don't want us to live. They were saying to their fathers, Bo'u v'notzi es ha'ivriyem nibenosenu v'yechul lahem. So just let's like kick out the Jews. I mean, we don't want to die, so let's kick out the Jews. So the fathers were very steadfast, and they said, no, even if we all die, we're willing to die instead of letting them go. So the firstborns, the bechors, they went to the palace of Paro, and they were begging him, you know, Paro, save us. So they were begging Paro, you know, let these people go so that we don't die. So Amar Lemisharsav, Tu'u, V'hakum, V'kafchu Shukim Shalahem. So Paro said to his servants, go slap them on the thighs. Ani Omer O Nafshi Tete Nafshaseim Shal Ivrim. Basically said, it's either me or them, and I'm not letting them go. V'atem Omrim Hotziu Osam, and you say to let them go. So Paro just refused. Ma'asu ha-bechoros. So what do the bechoros do? Natol kol echad echad charbo v'hargu esavosam. So they grabbed a sword and they killed their fathers. Miyad nigla leam hakadosh baruch hu v'zoshenem al makay mitzrayim bivchoreim v'lo neamar al makay bechorei mitzrayim. That's why the pasuk in Tehillim says lemakay mitzrayim bivchoreim, that he hit the mitzrayim through the bechors, not the bechors themselves. So the bechors were the bechor. Was a vehicle of destruction in this according to this medrash, the Bechors killed their fathers, at least in the literal sense. They killed their fathers because they saw that their fathers didn't care about their lives and their fathers didn't take this seriously, so they went out and they killed their fathers. And this is the idea of cherev that we're supposed to see in according to the Abu Draham in the Haggadah. The cherev of the Bechors killing their fathers. So what is that concept? What's the concept of cherev? In this framework, and if you don't want to learn the Medrash literally, what's the Medrash trying to teach us about the nature of what was going on in the Makos? So there's another idea here that this is the last point of Cherev, which is that I think the concept is that in the Makos, what the Makos created was a society where there was a complete breakdown in the family structure. If I don't think it literally meant that the sons killed the fathers. I mean, it's possible, but I think that there's a concept behind that, and the concept is that one of the effects of the Makos was a cherev, which was where family members basically didn't have trust in each other, and there was a complete breakdown in terms of the synthesis of the family, in terms of the building of the family into a family unit. There was a complete breakdown of that through the Makos. The Makos created dysfunctionality within the smaller units of the Mitzrayim, and that's the idea of cherev. And I was thinking about a similar idea of cherev in the opposite sense. If you look in, I mean, nobody brings this down, but I was just thinking about this. If you look by the Levium in the story of the Egel, so it's the opposite of this idea. But in Shemos, after the Egel, Moshe sees that the Jews are out of control. It says, Vayari Moshe kesa'on kifaruhu kifaro Aaron l'shem tzavei kamihem. So he saw that the Jews were out of control, and Aaron had let them get out of control, and nobody would be able to oppose them. So Moshe said, who's coming with me and who's with me? And B'nai Levi went there. So you see that he told them to take their swords and go through the machane, go through the camp, and just kill even your family members. So the Levium, they went through the Machane and they killed 3,000 people. And we see over there that there's a philosophical good over there by the idea of cherev. And Ibn Ezra even says that they killed their brothers, and they killed their sisters, they killed family members, even their grandfathers from their mother's sides. So you see that there's two ideas of cherev here, but there's the idea of cherev in the Makos, which was the antithesis of the idea of cherev by Levi. The idea of cherev was that it created a dysfunctionality within the family, and the concept of cherev is enemy. It's an idea of enemy, that you're enemies with somebody, And in that situation, the effect of the makos is that it created dysfunction, discord within the family. On the other hand, the badaluvim, it was a philosophical good. The idea of family not being the essence, but really Hashem being the essence, was really expressed by the Levim. But back to our idea, so that's the third idea in Cherev. So the third idea in Cherev is that when you go through the Haggadah, you're supposed to recognize that the family, the dysfunctionality that existed or that was created in the family unit as a result of the Makos, that's an idea it's really Hashkachas Hashem, it's really divine intervention that created this scenario. And that was one of the goals and one of the focuses of the Makos. So that's really the last concept of the shir. So anybody have any questions on that idea? Does it make sense, hopefully? All right, great, awesome. So I just wanted to summarize. I usually summarize at the end of the shir, so I just wanted to summarize the ideas here. So really, the concept is that there's three ideas in Cherev. The first idea that I want to express is the idea of the Ritva, which is that it's nekama. That's an idea of revenge. And the concept that I was trying to say was that it's also Midas Adin, based on the Smarno and the Rakanti, that it's also there's also justice. And the concept of Cherev is that we don't necessarily see the justice in the revenge, but we have to recognize that in the Makos, even though it might seem to us as to be unfair and to be too much and not be just, but there was a precision of justice that existed in the Nekama by the Makos, and that's the concept of Cherev. That's the concept of Cherev. It's that idea of Nokemis Nekam Bris, the concept of the ultimate justice that existed in the Makos as a method of revenge. And also it's tied to Bris Avram in that Avram was given this insight. He was given this idea. And then the second idea was the idea of fear, the fear of Cherev. And I think Michael mentioned that the idea of Cherev is also tied to Dever, because Dever showed death. It really was a demonstration of death within the Makkah. But afterwards, after the Dever, or it was an economic destruction, after the Dever, there was really this fear that emerged, and Moshe even warned Paro in the beginning of Makos Bechoros, and that created this tremendous psychological fear that existed throughout the Makos, and that's really Cherev. It's like there's a sword on your neck, like Howie was saying by Avelis, like there's an outstretched sword over Yerushalayim. It's the same idea. It's the idea of a constant threat of being destroyed. And then the last idea was this concept of Cherev, which is that you're supposed to understand that Cherev demonstrates the complete discord in the Mitzri family. The Mitzri family unit was broken down because of all the stress and all the destruction of the Makos. It destroyed the family unit to the point where there were even enemies within the family, that there was no bond. There was very little bond, natural bond, between father and son. So that's the last idea in Cherev, that the recognition of the effect of the Makos on the Mitzri family unit and the destruction of that unit. And that was Hashkachas Hashem. That's why we say Ki Olam Chasdo, that it was really Hashkachas Hashem that occurred. It wasn't natural. Yeah, go ahead. Questions?
The last idea about the family?
Yeah.
There was